Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorek. In a series of tweets on Tuesday, President Trump claimed that Google's search algorithm is rigged against him to only show negative and, as he describes it, fake news.
Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory, and they have to be careful. It's not fair to large portions of the population.
President Trump's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, told reporters the White House is, quote, taking a look at the issue.
We're just doing some investigation and some analysis. That's what we do.
Is there any evidence that they actually are censoring everyone's search results?
We're looking into it.
So Google responded in a statement on Tuesday saying, in part, quote, search is not used to set a political agenda, and we don't bias our results toward any political ideology. We continually work to improve Google search, and we never rank search results to manipulate political sentiment, end quote. That exchange leads us to ask, how does Google search actually work? Do we know? Hiawatha Bray, technology reporter for the Boston Globe, is with us from the Globe offices. Hiawatha, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me.
And also with us on the line from Roslindale is Christo Wilson. He's a professor of computer information science at Northeastern University. Professor Wilson, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
So, Hiawatha, I want to start with you. You wrote about this issue in your most recent column. In one of President Trump's tweets, he claims that 96% of results on Trump News are from national left-wing media. There's a lot to unpack in there, but let's start with that 96%. Where did he get that number, and do you take any issue with it?
Well, the number came from a journalist named Paula Bolliard, who was working basically using as her criteria for what's left-wing and right-wing a guide created by another conservative journalist named Cheryl Atkinson. And she breaks down the major American news media as to whether they're left or right. And the thing is that she's got companies like the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, NPR on the left. And on the right, you have things like Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, National Review, Weekly Standard, and so on. Now, if you use that kind of a breakdown, there is absolutely no question about it. You're going to find more left-wing sources than right-wing sources when you do news searches. The problem with that particular approach, it seems to me, is pretty obvious, and it leaps right out at you. Most of the ones on the left include the nation's major general interest newspapers and TV stations and radio networks where people get their news.
I also want to point out that the New York Times was further left than InfoWars was to the right. So
which is kind of interesting, right there.
Worth noting.
Well, you know, I'm not even sure that counts, though, because I'm not sure you can call what InfoWars, it depends on how you define the right. InfoWars is strange. Is it even conservative in any meaningful sense? I'm not sure. But in any case, if you have the New York Times on one side and, say, National Review and the Weekly Standard on the other, it's going to be no contest. Because here's the deal. What does Google look for? They look for, among other things, see, we don't know everything about how Google works, but we do know this. One thing they look for is how many people go to a website. The more people go to that website, the higher it's going to rate. Another thing they look for is, and this is a really interesting one, how many other websites link to your website. So if more people link to the New York Times than link to National Review, New York Times is going to win. And guess what? Sure enough, something like 300,000 sites link to the New York Times. So, of course, they're going to constantly come up high on the list. It's not about bias. It is deliberately the way the site is designed. What Google is doing is letting the world's internet readers vote.
Yeah,
you tell us what you think are the best news sources, and they're the ones that end up on top.
And that is interesting in itself. We'll come back to that in a second. But I do want to throw to Professor Wilson here, because Professor Wilson, you've done some research into whether Google actually manipulates its results for specific users. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found?
Yeah, so there's this longstanding concern that Google personalizes the search results, and that could lead to this kind of partisan filter bubble, right? So someone like Donald Trump, if Google were to infer that he wanted results from right-leaning sites, conceivably Google could just show him the links that they think he wants. But we've actually looked into this. So we run large-scale experiments where we recruit people to open Google in their browser, and we compare the results that they see in their browser as is, versus an incognito window where there's no cookies, they're not logged into Google, there's no history. And at least as far as we've ever seen, for news and political queries, the amount of personalization on Google search is minimal. It's almost nothing. So
That's pretty surprising because we know this is a company that functions on data collection and profiling its users. So I have to imagine that you were probably surprised by that as well. Is that true?
We were surprised. So there are definitely queries that are heavily personalized, but they almost uniformly have to do with location, right? It's pizza, subway, coffee, something that involves a map. And the ads, of course, are heavily personalized. But the search results themselves, at least for kind of news and political stuff, we're all seeing the same results.
Okay, so we know...
That's what you'd expect if they were doing their jobs in a responsible manner. Exactly, because it makes sense to personalize ads, but there's no particular reason to personalize news, is there?
Not any ones that aren't too nefarious.
It would be very controversial if they did it.
Yeah. So Hiawatha, that I think is another interesting question there in terms of, you know, the word bias I think is so loaded these days, but there are really kind of two different arguments to say that Google is biased here. One saying that they are conducting this conspiracy to shut out the right-wing voices. And then the flip side of that is, well, there is an inherent bias when you are the one collecting the information and deciding what makes the cut. You actually say in the piece you wrote for the Globe that we don't really know which one it is in play here. Is that fair?
Well, no. What I'm saying, well, actually, I say a couple of things. First of all, there is the danger of Google doing it even in a fair way, because their algorithm is basically, when it comes to news, biased in favor of news sources that are the most popular, the most accepted. And I gave an example. If you had been reading, say, for example, the Washington Post was all for war in Iraq, one of the leading news sources. This little obscure publication called The American Conservative was saying, this is a terrible idea. Let's not go to war in Iraq. If you were using Google News to get your news about whether we should go into war in Iraq, you might not have seen the people saying, hold off, hold off. And they were the ones who turned out to be right, right? So whether something is popular doesn't necessarily mean it's reliable news. The other problem, of course, though, is that we don't totally know what they're doing. They're a private company. These algorithms are their secret sauce. And if they chose to do something like that, they could, and we don't know whether they can or not. And that gives Google a level of power that's really very worrisome. And I think the alarm bell in the night moment that made people realize that was an internal thing. Last year, when they fired that engineer in their company for issuing that document that said something controversial, a lot of people looked at that and said, they do that to people in Google just because they say something controversial? What else are they doing?
So I want to play a little bit of tape here because we have an explanation from Google's How Search Works page. This is Google engineer Matt Cutts explaining how the search algorithm works, and he says the algorithm considers over 200 questions like...
How many times does this page contain your keywords? Do the words appear in the title? In the URL? Directly adjacent? Does the page include synonyms for those words? Is this page from a quality website, or is it low quality, even spammy? What is this page's page rank? That's a formula that rates a web page's importance by looking at how many outside links point to it and how important those links are.
So again, a lot to unpack there, but what's your reaction hearing that?
Oh, I was going to let the professor go ahead first.
Well, I think the key word you heard in that clip is this word quality. And the other, you know, words you hear from Google is relevant. Right? These are scientific sounding words, but they're pretty amorphous. We can think of umpteen different ways to judge the quality or relevance of a given news article. So it does give Google a lot of flexibility to craft the results in whatever way that suits them, really. You know, they don't use the word editorial to describe the search algorithm, but it is, right? It's making content decisions.
That's beautiful. That is exactly the point I was going to make. I'd rather let you make it. That's exactly right. The problem is exactly in areas like that, where who decides what's a quality site? That is where the possibility of bias is introduced, and we don't really have any control over how they make that decision.
All right, so the big question being talked about now is whether or not this administration will try to regulate Google. I have a feeling I know where you guys are going to come down on this, but what do you think of that prospect?
No!
Unlikely.
No, I don't think it's going to happen, and I think it would be a nightmare, and I don't even see how it could survive past First Amendment muster. I just don't think that's something we can do in the United States or would want to.
Professor, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. It raises as many questions as it answers. you know, even if we're unhappy with how Google is operating, putting it under some kind of regulatory regime just means now there's someone else who's making the editorial decisions. In this case, someone in the government. Are we comfortable with that? Is that better than the status quo?
So
maybe not.
Is the ultimate lesson here that basically we as consumers need to be smarter?
Yes and no. In my column, I threw out a suggestion which is similar to what has been done historically in the news business. I think these companies should, on their own, voluntarily create some kind of an ombudsman system where they have a panel of people who know exactly what goes on the inside and who are sworn to secrecy, but who are analyzing what is being done to decide whether or not, in their judgment, it's fair and balanced, and to do it voluntarily. I think that's what they ought to do.
All right. Well, Hiawatha, you get the last word there. Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
And Professor Christo Wilson. He's a professor of computer information science at Northeastern University. Professor Wilson, thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston's a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell, with help from Eve Zuckoff. Tim Skog is our technical director, and we had engineering help today from Renee Marchando. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathai. I'm Chris Siderick. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.